Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show tonight, our Thursday night Survivor show.
If you guys have a question on Survivor, you guys can call in 347-237-5506. Let's have a great show, guys.
Welcome, Survivor fans. This is the Rad Reality Show Network. I'm Cherry Garcia. I'll be your co-host tonight. It's November 10th, 2016. Thanks for being here for the Mike on the Mic show with our host, Mike Albright, who is the number one Survivor fan on the planet. He's currently met 448 Survivor alumni in person, along with Mark Burnett, Jeff Probst, and all the people who make Survivor such an awesome show. Mike has an amazing special guest joining him tonight from Survivor Korong. Joe Del Campo will be here, and we'll find out what he's been up to lately. And Mike and Joe will recap last night's episode of Survivor Millennials versus Gen X titled I'm the Kingpin. Fans are invited to join in and offer any questions or comments that you might have along the way in tonight's show. And this is how we do it. You call in at 1-347-237-5506. Once you're on our switchboard, you press the number one key on your phone. That lets us know that you're ready to join us on air. If you don't press the number one key, we think you're just listening to the show from the switch call. May not get picked up. So make sure you press that number one key on your phone once you call in. Now, it's time to bring up our host and get this party started. So here we go, folks.
They have volunteered to be marooned for 39 days. This is their story. This is Survivor.
Superfan, Mike. Mike,
you're up.
Hey, Mike, how are you? We made it through the election.
Hey, Sherry. Yeah, we survived. Yeah, it was an interesting day for me. I was working the election from 5:30 in the morning till 8:30 at night. We had an election party, and then I watched the results, and then I had to get up for a doctor's appointment the next day. So, yeah, it was a very intense, busy time. And I hope the nation can move forward from this election, and we'll see what happens from there. But, yeah, it was exciting on Tuesday and almost as exciting on Wednesday night with this most recent episode of the show with the merge episode. I really enjoyed it. A lot of a lot of exciting things happened, and can't wait to talk about it.
I can't either. It was a great episode, and your guest is already on the switchboard.
Awesome. I can't wait. I haven't talked to Joe since the finale, just online, but I haven't talked to him in person. So, yeah, I can't wait to talk to him.
Well, let's bring him up. We have from Survivor Korong, Mr. Joe Del Campo. Thank you for joining us, Joe.
Hey, guys.
Hey. Thanks for coming on.
My pleasure. Now, I did not watch last night's episode because I was all caught up with election results. So if you're going to talk about it, you might give away stuff, but that's okay.
Well, sorry about that. And while the portions you're on, we can always recap what you're feeling so far from the season of what we've seen and to see what you're up to. I don't want to necessarily spoil you, Joe, so that's fine. I know there was a lot going on with the election, and you're down in Florida, and that was one of the big swing states and a lot of electoral votes down there for sure. So it's an exciting time. So I guess my first question is, how do you feel watching this season, just being one season removed? I know you guys filmed about a year before this season, but what's it like watching this season, being a part of the show last cycle?
Oh yeah, our season, of course, we filmed it in 2015. It was February mm-hmm. through May, but we did not see it until February of this year. So it's been a time. Well, I'm kind of excited. I think it's different than our season. I've been in touch with some of our cast members and talked with them. It's different. It's got a whole different feel to it. It's still an exciting show. Mm-hmm. Starting to pick out some of my favorites. I haven't really honed in specifically on a winner as far as I'm concerned, but looking good. I think it's
a great season. Who do you like, Joe, and who do you not like? And has that changed over the course of the season? I mean, like pre-show and then through these first so many episodes, is your opinion the same on who you like, or does that change at all? And who do you like and not like?
Well, I'd rather not give anything away, but it's kind of shifting sands. As you see a personality emerge, maybe initially you think, well, that person's kind of weak. And then you see that person all of a sudden, wow, there actually is some dimension to that person, and they're looking good. So right now I'm looking at some favorites, but I'd rather not right at this particular time disclose who they are.
Okay, well, that's perfectly fine. Is there anyone that you're surprised to see gone and that you're surprised to see still in the game, maybe in a different perspective versus who you like and not like, but maybe were you surprised of anyone that's not in the game or anyone that's still in the game?
I kind of went along with how it went, particularly the blind sides. I thought they were excellent mm-hmm. and well-created and pulled off as you know, blind sides, they're shocking, that's for mm-hmm. sure. And I thought last week, certainly not this week's, because I had not seen the episode yet last
yeah.
night. I thought last week's was especially incredible and probably go down in the history of the show as being one of the best, if not the best, camera-wise and otherwise. It was a high tension and remains so, I think.
Did you think it was
that
a good...
That one blindsided me.
Yeah, it was surprising everyone, and Michaela was very popular, yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But sometimes, the popular person doesn't work out, as we know from past seasons.
From what we got to see, which is only a real small sliver of what actually probably happened out there, and I know there's, 72 hours and multiple cameras for 40-some minutes that we get to see, but did you think Michaela could have done anything differently to survive that, or what's your take on that as somebody that's actually played? Because we only saw portions of your game, not you experienced the whole thing. So we're kind of, Monday morning quarterbacks here, but I don't know if there's anything you would have done differently if you had been her.
Well, as you said, there's all the videotaping that goes on that we only see 42 minutes of it on a given night, and
yeah.
cameras are around you day and night. Sometimes, they capture some interesting things, sometimes not. Even during my season, there were conversations that went on that were not televised. And then I had fans, of course, later on say, well, where's Joe? So you have no control over the editing, and the editing is everything. I mean, what you see is real, absolutely.
Of course.
Tell a story. But at the same time, not everything is there. Just like The Blind Side, kind of saw it coming. They didn't show you all the conversations that took place that would lead you to know that The Blind Side was happening. But that's the whole excitement about the show, is because they leave you in the dark, leave you wondering. Yep. But Jeff Probst, you got to realize now, Jeff has access to all the interviews that go on during the day. And, of course, we don't see all those, so we have no idea what the cast members are saying. But he has it. When he's sitting down there that evening and we're at the tribal council, he's got the skinny. He knows everything that's been said and kind of has an idea, I think, which way the tribal council is going to go and the vote is going to go.
Awesome. Yeah. And he's got that insider perspective, and has sometimes been called the 21st player or 17th player. And his roles kind of, you know, change as the shows change, and he's, you know, given more power on the show. So what was, when you were in, what was one thing I always like to ask the guests is their kind of journey to the show. So how did we come to see you on Survivor? What was, had you been trying out for a long time, or were you discovered, or, you know, what was your journey to get on to Survivor Koh Rong?
Well, it's kind of interesting because I had actually applied for show one, the one that Rudy got on. But I did not. You know, my tape was not accepted. I guess maybe I was too young. I was only in my 50s. And then, you know, I was a naval officer. Rudy was former Navy, and in National Navy SEAL UDT SEAL Museum is only 12 miles away. It's down Fort Pierce, Florida. Every year they have what they call an annual muster, and what that is a celebration of the Navy SEALs, and we actually have demonstration by the Navy SEALs. They come in a helicopter. They do a fake, basically, hostage rescue. Probably 5,000 to 6,000 people attend that on a given – it's on a Saturday. It was just a weekend, this past weekend. And, in fact, Rudy was down, and Rudy stayed with me, as he did last year, as a house guest, him and another former Navy SEAL here at my house. But anyway, so in 2014 – my neighbor, Ken Corona, is the assistant director there. He introduced me to Rudy, who I had not met. And this was on, again, the early fall of 2014. Rudy said, "Hey, Joe," and Rudy's 88 years old now. God bless him. He's still going strong.
God love him.
He said, "Joe, they haven't had another guy over 70 on since me." He said, "I think Jeff Probst will probably like it, you know. You ought to send in the tape, you know, your former FBI guy and your former Navy guy and doing a PI thing." So I did, and during the tape, my little three-minute tape that you submit to them, I actually challenged him and Mark, and I looked right at the camera as part of the tape, and I said, "I challenge you, Jeff, and I challenge you, Mark Burnett. I said, you haven't had a guy over 70 on since Rudy," and that was 15 years ago. "He was the first guy, and I want to be the next guy. What do you think about that?" And I guess they liked that, because then I got the call. And, of course, it's like a six-month process. It's very involved. And fortunately, I found myself on that beach in Koh Rong, Cambodia. And I'll tell you what, it's so different from what you see on TV. We look at the television. We see the cast members. We see the tribe members. But what you don't see is what's behind the 100 or plus people there on a beach at a given day with all the technicians, the film guys, the grips, the divers. It's phenomenal. It is huge. It is a big, big operation.
Yeah, 300-400 people, right, or so, and it's amazing, all the people,
Right, and that's the ones that are actually go with the show. And then you have the locals, which are employed to, for instance, you know, we see these incredible jungle scenes where the jungle's been cut out. They have a challenge set up. There's local people that are doing all that, clearing those fields that have been jungles or bush or whatever it is, and to make it the way we see it. And then, of course, they leave it pristine after they leave. All that stuff, all those challenges are physically taken down, and it's gone like they were never there. It's amazing. It really is.
Amazing what they're doing. I was actually planning a trip to Nicaragua with my girlfriend, and while she was looking for flights, she saw my favorite season of all time was wasn't Korong, sorry, it's Africa, but we found this really cheap flight, and I was like, wow, because I'd love to go, you know, see where they shot that, and I know it's for liability reasons, they don't want to destroy the environment they're in, but it'd be amazing if somehow they could leave, like, tribal council up or a challenge, but I know that they can't do that with the deals they make with the governments they're in, but shocking. Yeah.
Jeff had said, you're talking about seasons. Ours, I would say, and they have said that, was one of the most difficult ever filmed, and the reason was because of the temperatures and everything.
I was going to ask you,
Yeah, well, the day that Caleb went down, and Sydney and Debbie, it was 118 degrees out there, and what you see in 7 or 8 minutes of a challenge, that went on for well over an hour. And see, normally it's not like they have the bottles of water and they say, here, guys, if you're thirsty, that does not happen. We are not supported that way. We have what we have. If we have a little jug of water, and they made these little kind of things out of bamboo, which really sucked because they kind of leak, and you lose your water, you lose your water. It's not like you go over to the crew and say, geez, can you give me a bottle? That doesn't happen. You know, they're never seen eating in front of us or drinking or anything. You never see anything like that because they realize that we're under these very difficult conditions, that we're starving for most of the time. So there's nothing like, okay, we see the crew and they're over there having a nice candy bar. That doesn't happen. So what
not
you
even
see
gum,
is real.
Right? I thought they can't even allow gum and candy, sir, right? I think they're not even allowed to do any of that.
It's a real deal. I mean, really, I never saw anybody doing any of that. They're professional about the whole thing, and, you know, we're treated, we're cast, and that's it. They film us. They don't associate with us. They don't talk to us. They just do their job. So, you know, people have queried in the past, say, oh, yeah, they probably have a five-star hotel back there, or they go back to a nice, at nighttime. They're not sleeping on bamboo out there with the bugs. Yes, we are. And yes, we are starving. And in our season, we didn't get any rice. We had to do what we could do with a machete and a net or whatever. And for us, pretty much was just eating shellfish as far as clams and mussels, coconuts, and drinking water. That was about it. I lost 20 pounds. I was kind of skinny when I got back.
You're a pretty lean and muscular guy. Yeah. What food did you crave the most when you were out there out of, you know, 34 days? What were you hankering for, Joe?
Well, not beef.
Well, yeah, I wasn't going to make light of that, man. But
my bout with Mother Nature there, and Mother Nature saying, "Hey, Joe, you can't do that. You can't eat that much meat after this long and expect that I'm not going to come back and pay you a visit." So, unfortunately, that's what happened. Had I to do it again, I would have wised up. But boy, it was so good. You know, the other thing is, you only saw a little bit of that reward challenge. Actually, on YouTube, as the season goes along, and maybe most of your listeners don't know that, but as the weeks go along, there are the outtakes and what they call secret interviews and deleted scenes that are on YouTube. Right. Well, there's about 3 or 4 of them involving that particular reward challenge, which were great. One was the Joe the Emperor, and you see me coming out in a pink sarong kind of a thing after my cowboy bath thing, us shooting off champagne later on the porch of this little bungalow kind of thing. So there was a lot that, again, the listeners and viewers didn't get a chance, I'm sure, to see, which is a shame because it was a great reward.
For sure. And you were talking about the intensity, and I would agree that Korong in Africa and Guatemala would definitely be right in my top three for toughest. You got the 3 medevacs, a lot of people injured, and you know, yours was unfortunate, Neil's was, and, you know, Caleb. But I've been told if Caleb wasn't as physically fit as he was, he possibly could have been the first U.S. casualty, which is unfortunate because that's right where there was a casualty on another international version of Survivor,
where that
happened. So it's very fortunate.
Yeah, there was the French show, which was very, very sad. He was young. I think it was during the first episode, and the poor doctor, who was a French doctor, was so distraught that, and I believe I read this, he never went back to France. He was so embarrassed about what happened and ashamed. that he did not go back to France and wind up dying again in another country other than France. But, you know, it is difficult, and you have to be in pretty good shape. I mean, you don't have to be an Olympic athlete, but you certainly have to be in pretty good shape. Those challenges are real. It's a real deal. They're difficult. They're not easy. Some are fun, but other ones are, you know, they're flat challenging physically and mentally, as you know.
Yeah, what was your favorite challenge that you liked, and what was your least favorite challenge that you participated in?
Okay, the favorite that I liked was, I call the Clydesdales versus the Thoroughbreds, was my reward challenge. So
yeah,
I plotted, and that was difficult because we had to run about 100 yards up a hill into the jungle, then climb this ladder thing and recover the bags as we climbed higher, run back to the beach, untie a bag, and toss the little bags we're enclosing that bag. So I had no idea where we were in a challenge. So by the time I got back, my poor tribe mates, they had been waiting there, I guess, about 2 minutes. So it was the old plop-plop of the Clydesdale kind of run. And then somebody was with me, the God or somebody, because the last two bags, as you know, I was able to toss. And that was a pretty good distance. It wasn't like it was close. I think it was more luck than me being just, you know, accurate. But it happened. Okay. I won, and I was thrilled. The one that gave me the most difficulty was one where we had to run through the surf, climb over that barrier in the water, swim to that dock, get on the dock, memorize those symbols that had numbers beside them, do the reverse coming back to the beach, and then with this dial thing, dial the correct number that you saw beside a symbol to be able to open up and get the puzzle parts out and be able to spell the word. And by the time I got back there, I mean, I was kind of physically spent, and I didn't have enough gas. And I said, Jeff kind of looked at me and said, Joe, you okay? And I said, Jeff, I ran out of gas. And then right at that particular time, it was between Julia and Michelle. And Michelle, I was real quick. She got it, and she won the challenge. So for me, that was the most difficult because I didn't get really a chance to go back out. I was just it was very, very difficult. So my almost 72 years kind of caught up with me on that one.
Well, yeah, but you were competing with some towards the end there. The only one close to age was Ty, and he was still, you know, almost 22 years younger.
Well,
so,
again, you know, mentally, of course, I think these legs that I have are just as fit as they were 40 years ago. But they said, no, sir, Joe, we're not working like we did way back when, buddy. So that was the case. But you know what? I took it in good stride. I could only do what I could do. And that was the other thing, too. I didn't want to push myself like Caleb. God bless him. He's a tough guy, tough young man. Of strength, and if you had followed him, you know, he's going on now with the training and the bodybuilding and stuff like that. But I didn't want to take myself out of the action. And like Jeff had said on the beach there, actually Dr. Joe, he said, he said he's a pretty tough guy. And, you know, he would probably stick it out, but I don't want to see him hurt himself. And I didn't want to do that on the beach, you know, that day. So I thought, okay, I could push myself. You know, I didn't want to pass out or, God forbid, something worse than that. So I read the writing on the wall, and I figured, okay, I have nothing to prove to anybody being Mr. Tough Guy because I'm X amount of years old. So maybe that's a little bit more wisdom that I had for once, at least in my life, than I have another time.
Awesome. And I appreciate you coming on, and I saw your post with Rudy, and Rudy was one of the – I've met so many guys from the show, and – but Rudy was one of the first ones I met out in Nebraska at a charity event 14 years ago. And Rudy is just such an iconic figure. So it was really cool. And I called him a legend. And, sir, you're a legend as well. And we appreciate your time on here. And with the cast, you don't want to pick any favorites. Were you surprised with some of the millennials and how open they were about just how they were voting and their relationship? Like, here on the show, we've just been surprised with the whole Taylor Figgy, that how open they were about that relationship. What was your take on that, sir?
Well, I thought that was suicidal to do that.
Yeah.
As we know, and if you've been a fan for years and years, anytime you have a power couple,
And they try and keep it a secret. That's one thing, but everybody kind of knows anyway. But then when they're really announcing it and, like, pleased to announce, I thought, wow, maybe, you know, you really should think about what you're doing. And I don't know if they really saw the error of their ways of doing that, because everybody knows, okay, those two people, they're together. We need to do something about that. And ultimately, that's what was done. But as far as the cast this season, of course, I started watching it with, oh, yeah, our season was better and all that. But again, as I mellowed, we're up to 8 episodes
yeah.
now or something.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought, well, you know what? Every season has its own specialty about what makes it so good. And I think that this season, having the difference between the Generation X and the Millennials is a great one to do it. As far as favorites, I'm kind of leaning with the older people and being older, but I'm still amazed at the young folks and all. And also, you know what? For me, it's a learning process. One of the questions they asked me, if I have a minute, was why do they think that I would be able to get along being 70, almost 72, with the younger people? They said, well, what are you going to have in common? How will you be able to talk to them? So I thought about it, and I responded to the producer. I said, well, let me answer it this way. I said, one of my jobs as a special agent in the FBI was in hostage negotiation, where I had been put in circumstances where I had to be able to convince somebody in a hostage situation or a life-threatened situation to come out to do something that they don't want to do based on how I'm presenting it, and they wind up saying, okay, that's what I'm going to do. I said, if I could do that in a life-threatening situation, I certainly could talk to some young people who have a little bit of sand in their pants and they're hungry. I said,
yeah.
I think that I could probably be successful. So they kind of like that, I guess. Excuse me.
Yeah, you had it.
I felt that way. I felt I had a lot to learn. I've always tried to be open-minded in communications, particularly when we talk with people. There are two components there, the actual communication and also the listening process. And I've always been, particularly in hostage negotiations, you have to hear, you have to listen to what that person's saying. Well, in everyday life, I try doing the same thing. You know, we have one mouth and two ears, and I'm thinking, okay, you got to listen twice as much as you talk, because you really can't learn anything when you're talking. You had to listen. So that's what I tried doing on my season with my cast members, was listen as much as I could and try and understand where they're coming from, what they're about, what their needs are, what their wants are. And I guess I did okay. I got pretty far. Some people say it was under the radar. But Aubrey and I made a plan. Me being the older guy, and as you know, most of the time with the older cast member, they try and get rid of the older cast member at ASAP. So our plan was, basically, she was going to do the field work. We'd come back. We'd chat about it. As you saw, a couple times I agreed with her. Other times I didn't vote the same way she did. And it seemed to be successful. But then, of course, the true fans, the diehard fans, were saying, well, you know, Joe didn't do this. We didn't see him strategizing. Well, as I said before, some of that stuff did not make on camera. And it's up to them to make the decision, and that's fine with me, CBS, on what they wanted to show and what they didn't show. So I'm good with it, though.
Yeah, and we only get a portion, and we were definitely, and I won't speak for Sherry, but I'm pretty sure we were definitely Team Ty and Team Aubrey. I mean, Michelle's great. I love Michelle, too. But we were really, you know, thinking Aubrey. I was thinking Aubrey was going to take the whole thing home, and I was really surprised, and especially it was kind of like your presentation or edit. I know I hate to talk about editing because that's a big deal, especially the season before your – or two seasons before yours with Dan and, you know, his reaction to SCG. But do you think Michelle's edit was – presented kind of like yours? We just didn't really get to know her as well, or is there, you voted for Aubrey and we supported Aubrey. I was just kind of curious why the jury went with Michelle.
Well, I was kind of surprised too, because I thought that Aubrey had it as a lock. But again, Michelle, she came up strong. She was part of it. We were very friendly toward the end. I mean, her dad is retired police captain up in New Jersey, and we kind of had camaraderie there. Got right before the end there. We're talking about our favorite cereals when we'd get back, and you know what we would talk about. But with Michelle, there was, and I don't want to give anything away, there was some allegiance to other people later in the game that we were worried about. That how would that be? Could she be trusted? And so she wasn't really part of the, you know, the group, the inner core there.
Core, yeah, yeah.
You know, yeah, because of that allegiance with another person. So, of course, I get bumped off. And then Michelle, God bless her, with the challenges and what she was able to do and rise to the top. So I think Aubrey now, you know, Michelle really never voted anybody off. So when you vote people off, sometimes they have an attitude about that. Well, okay, mm-hmm. I'll show you. You won't get my vote. And I think that's what happened, is that Michelle came on strong at the end. God bless her. She should have, you know, as a winner, just like, you know, the presidency, the person won. And, you know, you accept that or you say, oh no, because – as you know, on I guess it was Twitter and all, there were a lot of people that complained about, well, they didn't feel it was fair or should have been Aubrey. But it is what it is. That's the nature of the game.
And that's what I was – I sponsored Michelle to a charity event right after your guys' season aired. And I was just – I would drive her to the airport and around. And I was just like, you know, Michelle, I'm never going to say anything against your game because, A, I didn't see it all. I wasn't there. And, B – you know, you won the thing, so that means you were entitled to it. But I said the biggest thing as a fan we didn't see was, you know, your journey to it. Like, we didn't really – it wasn't presented to us in a good fashion. I equated it kind of to Sophie on South Pacific where, you know, they were focused on everyone else. We just didn't see it, and it kind of blindsided the fan. So, I mean, I'm not going to disagree with it by any means. It just – I think it could have been presented a different way so we would appreciate it more because it was kind of the Ty Aubrey – show. And I love, you know, the final, you guys, I care about all of you. You know, I bothered you at the hotel lobby and became friends with you afterwards. And it's something I love all you people that play it. It's just, I thought Aubrey played a better game from what we saw. So it's just interesting.
Well, if you talk strategically, and she is one incredibly bright lady, I'll tell you what, she, with her quips, her mind is sharp. I mean, and very, very fast, very humorous and everything. If you talk about, you know, people would say, okay, this person played the game this way, and if you had to achieve certain goals and all, I think Aubrey did. I mean, she was out there. She was beating the bushes every day. She's forming alliances and certainly strategy. Michelle, again, a good player, but if you go side by side, probably not what the purists would say, oh, you know, well, she played, you know, a great, great game. Well, you know what? Mm-hmm. She played the game. She won the game, whether it was through being strong. I go back to Tom Westman, season 10, who I kind of patterned myself.
Yep. Are you still there, Joe? Sherry, are you still there?
He's still showing on the switchboard.
Have we got a bad connection, maybe, or hopefully the Russian hackers haven't infiltrated
our... Sometimes when this happens, their call will drop off.
Well, hopefully...
Right after this. He's still showing on the switchboard.
Well, I'm going to...
I wonder if he hit his mute button.
Possibly. So we'll just carry on, and if I hear Joe start talking, I'll shut my face and defer to him. It was interesting the point that
you
was
might
on there.
You might want to text him and see if you can.
I'll shoot him a message, and to say he might be muted. So hold
check
on
your
a
mute
second.
Button.
Yeah, hold on.
Because he is still on live on our switchboard, so.
Okay, well, we'll roll the punches here on Mike. So we're not sure what's going on with the audio. I hope everything's all right, and I don't want to recap if Joe's listening because I don't want to spoil what happened, but it was shown on the promos that it was going to be the merge. So coming into this, Sherry, without really, you know, talking too much about what actually happened on the show, we had talked about towards the end of last week's recap – if we were running odds, who do you think had the best odds coming into the merge before this episode? And then who you think had the worst odds. And then, I mean, we've both seen it, so we know what actually happened, but was what your brain telling you coming into this episode correlate to what actually
happened? He's calling back in now. Hi, Joe.
Joe, are you back?
I wonder if his mute button is on.
See if you're muted, Joe. You might have accidentally hit mute. I don't know. Technology is an interesting thing.
We're not getting any audio from him.
Okay. Well,
he's live on the switchboard, but there's no audio.
I sent a message. I'm not 100% sure what. It's a new interesting thing. I know I've dropped off a couple times myself. What could be going on? But yeah, it's hard to talk about what happened without, because the worst thing I want to do is ever spoil the show for anybody. And I really appreciate, you know, Joe being on so far, and as long as he wants to stay on. And I know I think he was trying to make a specific point, but I definitely want to talk about what happened quite yet.
I had a question for him too, and I hate for him to go before I was able to chat with him just a bit. So his call is still on the switchboard, so I don't know. There's must be something on his end with his mute button or something, because
yeah, I sent a message, and I think he's probably looking at it, and we're trying to just assess what's going on. So
I don't know. I don't understand.
Well, I don't want him to hear this, but I'll say the individual that was voted out, that was, they didn't really specifically say if they had joined the jury or not, but the one thing at least Wikipedia says, and maybe it was on the Ponderosa video or a secret scene, is that person was the first member of the jury. So I hope that's not a big spoiler. We won't say who that person was, but I thought that was interesting for them not to specifically say. Jeff did not clarify that, so the players may not know until that individual.
Hello.
Hey, Joe, you back?
There you are, Joe.
Yeah, I am. Sorry. Sorry about that.
Glad to have you with us.
It's okay. No worries.
I was talking and trying to pet my little dog over here, and I think I might have hit the mute button. Sorry about that.
That's okay. Actually, that's one of the questions I had for you. How is your little dog? I absolutely love your little dog.
Well, you know, we have several. Now, little Lulu here, who I'm petting right now, Lulu... And I guess some of you know, not all of you, but we're involved in Yorkie Rescue, Florida Yorkie Rescue. And over the past several years,
God,
we've transported, picked up, fostered tons of little Yorkies. Well, we have actually five dogs, a standard poodle, a toy poodle, and the rest are Yorkies. And two of them are I'll tell you about this one here. Lulu, she was unadoptable. She had one of the most severe cases of a collapsed trachea. She's deaf and could not be adopted, so we did what we call a permanent foster adoption. So she's been with us, and we thought we were going to have to put her down 2 years ago because she had this horrible cough because she can't breathe properly. Linda kind of doubled up on her dose of medication while we took her to the vet, and we thought we were going to have to euthanize her. And the vet said, well, she's not coughing. Did you do anything different? And we said, well, we doubled her dose of medication. He said, well, not only double it, let's do it twice a day. And that was 2 years ago, actually 3 years ago. And here she is, and she's still hanging in there.
Awesome.
God,
the other
love
one
you.
Is when I came back, and that was on May 9th, 2015, Linda had been fostering a little Yorkie, and I don't know what the name was then, but... So we were going to take him down the next day to the vet, and he was going to be given up for adoption. But he kind of fell in love with me the day I got home from California. And then the next day, we're taking him down to the hospital, the doctor, to have her checked up and then fostered out. And I said, I want to keep the dog. So she said, okay. We're complaining about how many dogs. Well, anyway, I'm trying to think of a name. So I thought, you know, the dog love at first sight, and we kind of loved each other. So in the Khmer language, which is Cambodian language, the word for love at first sight, kind of instant love, was Nisay, N-I-S-A-Y. So we have Nisay. So Nisay is a product, at least, of kind of Cambodia in a kind of off way. But so I have we had the rest of the pack here. So, it's kind of joyous helping these little guys. They usually come from very difficult situations. Either they're abandoned, they're mistreated. A lot of them have physical ailments and things with people get them. They don't have the money to make it right. Sometimes, as you know, pets can be very, very expensive. So we get them, we refurbish them and make them real healthy, and then we look for what we call, you know, permanent forever homes, because we want these little guys not to be given up again and not to go through the trauma of that. So it's kind of rewarding. It really is.
Well, I like you on the show, and I like you even more.
My husband and I have two rescue Italian greyhounds, the little bitty ones. And we got them as the sisters. We rescued them. They were 6 years old, and we lost our Italian greyhound. We had gotten one 6 weeks old, and she was 9 years old when our home burned down. And we lost her in the fire. And it's hard for me to talk about. And after we got a new house and got settled, about 9 months later, we finally decided to look for another dog. And I looked at the rescue group, and there was these two sisters. And the they had separated them because none of the foster moms could take both of them in at the same time, so they were separated. And I looked at my husband, and I read him the story, and I said, you know, that's what our little Chloe would have wanted. And so we went through the process, got our home check and everything, and drove out. We're in St. Louis, and we drove all the way to Kansas City, about 5 hours, to go and get them. And we are spoiling them rotten. They were abused. One of them had her tail broken off. Had teeth missing, had scars on her face. Both of them had scars on their faces. We're very, very timid, but we've had them 3 years now, and we're thinking about getting into fostering. And, you know, they're just such joyous little creatures, you know. All they want to do is give love. And that's what dogs do. And that's exactly it. And I saw the pictures of you with your dogs, and I just fell in love with your babies. And I had to ask about them.
Well, when I first got involved with the Yerkie Rescue, I swore I would never push a baby carriage with a dog in it. Well, that's kind of gone by the wayside.
We have one, too.
Well, particularly Lulu. Lulu, I mean, she can't walk real well. She's got, you know, her kind of hips are kind of messed up and all. So as an aid to her, when I sit here watching TV or talking to you guys now, she's right here beside me in a little baby carriage, and this is where she likes to be and just kind of hang out. And then she looks up if I'm not around, and she gets all excited like, where's Joe? But she's a funny little girl, you know. She's in her own little world. We believe she's in the, you know, beginning of doggy dementia. Doesn't know what she wants sometimes. Looks around, kind of just stands there and, you know, stares off into space just like we humans do when we have that condition. But you're right. They give you so much love. They don't ask for anything. And you know, if people would only do rescues, not go to pet stores and get these breeds and all that, there are plenty of breeds. And also, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Not just mixed ones, but, you know, pure breeds that are
bred, yeah.
Yeah, purebred, thank you, for adoption. And you can find them, and they need good homes. And usually they're some of the best dogs are these ones that that you find, you adopt, and rescue, and they turn out to be wonderful, wonderful pets, and actually family members more than pets.
That's one of my charities. I support Save a Dog up in Massachusetts, and they do some great work. So yeah, any shelter folks, if you're listening to this, don't just be a fan of Survivor. You know, give back to these different charities and definitely help out these rescue groups to help these animals and the people, because it's a great symbiotic relationship between both parties.
I bet you missed them while you were on Survivor, didn't you, Joe?
Well, I missed them, and of course I missed the other thing, just the everyday things. The wonderful thing about, I think, doing that adventure is how much you really appreciate just everyday things that we take for granted. You know, that you can go to the refrigerator and get a cold drink, or that you can go and get a sandwich or this, or the convenience of being able to travel in the car and go from point A to point B. When you don't have food and you're worried about shower, okay, it's going to rain tonight, and you're getting soaking wet and the wind's going, you're cold, and it's like, why did I want to do this? The bugs are eating you up. But you know what? It's a common thing. We're all suffering together, so it's not like any one person's having any worse than anybody else. And that was a neat thing with the camaraderie. And even though we had our problems, I certainly had problems getting along with the boys, as you know, and Scott and Jason. But in the end, when it was over, when I went back to Ponderosa, the problems that Jason and I had, you had some of them on camera, they didn't put that as far as words between us. It was a game. And when the game is over, we're back to real life. And that was the whole thing. That it just was a game. You gave it the best shot you could, but it was just a game. And I think some people might have a problem with that and still have ill feelings toward maybe, you know, a cast member, but that wasn't my deal. My deal was, hey, you know what? I was given a wonderful opportunity. I appreciate CBS giving me the shot. And then to be with these incredible people, we suffered together. We all went vying for the, you know, the prize. And it wasn't really about the money. It was just about trying to do the best you could, particularly me at my age, trying to think, you know, well, maybe I have a shot at least to get the, you know, the final three. And it was that. It was just about trying to do the best you can, trying to use your mind to get through the whole process and, okay, and can I do it? And as the days went by, and I wasn't voted off, and then I made it, you know, and we made it to tribal, and I didn't get voted off at any of the councils, and the merge came, and like, holy mackerel. I was very, very pleased. Because, you know, I think when we first go, oh, if I only could make it to the merge, you know, and that's well, as that came, then the next thing is, oh, geez, maybe I could make it the next day and the next challenge. And so that was the excitement about it, that every day there was something new, and the adventure of it was every day was a different adventure. And you hope that you're going to make it. You hope that you're going to make it through tribal council. You hope that you have the votes that you're not going to be who's going to be on the chopping block. So it's a continual kind of stressful, but and, you know, in a good way, because you know what? We're all going to be home in X amount of days, and this is going to be go down in history books. And, of course, it was season 32. Hell, we're going to be on season 34 come February, so it keeps moving on. I'm old enough, man. Kind of has been.
I finally am in enough shape. I'm trying to join your ranks, so I did finally apply for the show. I've been recruited a couple times by producers, so we'll see what happens and what they're looking for. So who knows? But I hope to possibly join the alumni because I love you guys so much. And what was it like having people come up and want pictures and autographs? What's that like? The new experience, or what was that like? That's I can only imagine how crazy that's got to be, Joe.
Well, I'll tell you what, the craziness is when we went to the live show week. Of course, you know, it's just a couple days before and all. Is the fans were amazing. I mean, you're talking about hard people that have followed the show. They have pictures, they have albums, and it really, really is amazing. And I'm thankful. I mean, I went. We have a food store called Publix here, and I was in there. Mm-hmm. And a woman come up, a middle-aged lady. She said, "Grab my hand." She said, "Oh, you were really wonderful." You know, I'm still shocked at that. Because, you know, that's a while back now, but people still come up, or they'll be afraid to come up to you and say, well, would you mind? I'd like to take a picture. And I say, are you kidding? I said, if it wasn't for the fans, there would be no television show. There would be no Joe or Aubrey or anybody else. It's you guys that make it. And absolutely. And if somebody would say, oh, well, no, I don't want to take a picture. Well, you know, I feel sorry for that person because it's still exciting. Even now, after a year or so has gone by, where people walk up and say, you know, you did a nice job and I thought you were great. And even on Twitter, I'm getting new people that say, hey, Joe, we like, you know, or Instagram, we like the picture you put up, or we like the little video. So it kind of makes you feel good, you know?
Awesome. And the good thing is the majority of the people, the majority of the alumni and the majority of the fans are great people, and they really appreciate what you do, and they're compassionate. And I know the people's hearts are going out, and there's probably some jerks making fun of what happened to you, but there was definitely a sentiment of just that we hope he's okay. And, you know, it's unfortunate. And I've cried at medical evacuations and family visits, usually most seasons, just because how I end up meeting you guys. So I really do care about you. So, and I appreciate you were – you know, your whole cast was very friendly, but you were one of the most friendly, Joe, so thank you for that, and I appreciate it. So.
Well,
my husband and I were so bummed out when you were taken off. We were really pulling for you, Joe. We usually do root for the older people because, you know, that's who we are. But you had such a personality that, you know, we felt like we could have, you know, you were sort of like us. You were somebody we thought we could relate to. And we were pulling for you so much. And to see you taken out of the game broke our hearts. And we were just heartbroken when you were taken out. It was devastating for us. It really was.
Thank you. Jeff Probst, what happened was that I walked off the beach with Dr. Joe, and we got on the boat, and then Jeff hung with, you know, the last four. He came back to the boat, and he got on the boat, and we started leaving, you know, because we go to another island where the camp is, and then from there you go to another island, and that's where Ponderosa is. And one of the nicest things he said, he got on, he said, Joe, you left a lot of love on that beach. And that made me feel really good because you do establish, even though we're all vying for that, we'll call it $1 million, that you have that camaraderie where people are crying because you're being taken out, that you know there's love there. You know, it's more about the companionship and what you feel and what you have expressed to each other and shared with each other.
How concerned they were for you, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I met some great people. You know, most of them I probably won't be hanging around with because we're all over the country. But Aubrey has stayed here with Lynn and me. Michelle has stayed here, overnight. She is actually very close in town now. Her parents have a place that's about 40 miles away down the coast. So, you know, we still have that kind of thing. And I don't know if you knew about it, but I posted a picture on Instagram, I think, last week. Before our show aired, there were about 12 of us that went to Michelle's mom's house up in New Jersey, and we had a sleepover, a pajama night. So
that was awesome.
Yeah, it was most of our crew. Debbie actually was there, but she didn't make the picture, and Neil, he was flying around with his ice cream company. Otherwise, it would have been all of the brains. And we had, you know, Anna and Julia, and Nick, I think, that were part of the beauty tribe. So it was a lot of fun, though. So there's that camaraderie after the fact that we still like each other and we see in each other, you know, friendship. And so it was very, very nice. Yeah.
Awesome. And I wasn't in Florida this year for Give Kids the World because of some work commitments. Did you get a chance to go there? And it's neat to see the stuff between the different seasons and that you're among almost over 500 people alumni now. So
that's true. The Give Kids the World charity was a lot of fun because it was multiple reality shows. There was all of the Mark Barnett show, the Amazing Race, Big Brother, ours. Naked and Afraid, which I don't think that's Mark's, but to see, now you talk about fans, they waited hours to get all
oh, yeah.
out They paid money, and it all went to the charity. But what a wonderful thing, and, you know, and so gracious. And I'm talking about age group from children, you know, 10. I was shocked, a little boy, 10, 11, 12, girl, little girl, up to older people. Joe,
yeah.
We followed you. You know what? And it's wonderful. And here we're doing that for charity, and that they would wait outside, and I respect that. So I have a new love of what, you know, fans are, because I never had any fans before the show. But
yeah, yeah.
I do, you know, and they really bolster you as a person and make you feel happy, and it's just nice. And even now, if somebody says, "Are you so and so?" I said, "You mean are you in reality?" "Oh yeah, I absolutely." Thank you very much. Yeah, thanks for the compliments. Or somebody will text me or something that I don't know who they are. I always try and respond back. If somebody likes me on Twitter, I will respond back and say thank you very much, or thank you for the follow. It's just kind of respect for if they're taking the time out, why not take a couple of seconds and respond back and say thanks very much. I appreciate it. It means a lot to me. You know, it'd be nice if everybody did that.
It would be, and I would say out of all 500-some alumni, the 448 I've met, there's only one or two that just didn't seem to like it. And I just, it's unfortunate, but if it's only that many out of so many people, then what are you going to do? I want to be – oh, sorry, sir.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say I wanted to be sensitive of your time, especially since you haven't gotten a chance to watch what happened last week, so I didn't know what your timetable was. I'll talk survivors. The show officially ends at 8:30, but whenever you want to go, sir, you're more than welcome to. But you're more than welcome to stay. We were going to recap at some point, so I didn't want to spoil. The biggest thing as a fan, I know you're a fan of the show. I would never want to spoil what happened, so I didn't want to. I tried not to say anything when you were on mute either. So I hope I did say that the first juror, but I didn't say who they were.
No, well, actually, I was walking around, and I finally Linda was outside. I'm trying to find mute. And I didn't want to do anything else wrong, and apparently in my excitement of talking I did hit the mute button, so
that's fine. I just didn't want to spoil it, so but I just wanted to say you if you had a closing thought before we probably will recap just a little bit, so I didn't want to spoil what happened for you. So did you have any?
Well, yeah, I guess the show is called On the Kingpin, and I certainly want to watch it now. I you know what, I didn't realize that it actually had aired because I got so caught up with the election results. Had I known, I would have watched it earlier today. I didn't even think about it. I thought we had just missed it and they would reschedule next week, but they did put it. So, yeah, I'm probably going to, after we are finished with our interview here, is just watch it because I'm interested.
Well, best of luck. And who do you think the Kingpin is? Because we won't tell you because we Sherry and I saw it, but who do you think it is?
I don't know because, you know, you have people that are much more vocal that they might say they're kingpin, or you could have one of the more quieter ones who have actually risen now in stature that might say, well, and you know, I'm the kingpin. Maybe he'll say that to the camera and not so much to another
not to the
cast
crew.
Member.
Yeah.
So,
well,
so
go
check it
out. And we appreciated your time on tonight, Joe. So thank you. And I hope you can watch the 42 minutes of the show and I hope you enjoy it. So,
well, I'm sure I will enjoy it. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Where are you at in Florida, Joe?
This is Vero Beach, and Vero Beach is about 70 miles north of West Palm Beach. We're about an hour and a half from Orlando. It's just very nice. It's quiet, although it's kind of, the hidden gem here because we have incredible beaches. There's no high-rises on the beach. They'll never be built here. So it's kind of a slow down versus where I live down in Port Lauderdale, where it was what I call mega madness, traffic and all. I kind of like this. It's a slower pace, nicer for the older people. Now, my kids, they have a younger audience here. That's the older people who live on. We have what we call the Barrier Islands, and that's where most of the people who are part-time residents fly down in their jets and, you know, they're here for the season and then go back home. Well, now some
my husband and I hope to retire there someday.
Oh, is that right? Yeah, well, it's great. It's really a nice area. So it
somewhere
is up and coming, but
Well, we are on what they call the frost line or the tropical line. So above us is considered, you know, not tropical, and we're right on the line, so we're still considered the tropics here. So it's kind of nice because we are usually 8 degrees cooler in the summertime than Fort Lauderdale, Miami, and in the wintertime it's a little colder up here than it is down there. So
okay.
He's down in Florida right now visiting his parents who are in Summerfield, Florida.
Okay.
Sort of in
yeah.
the center of the state.
Well, where I feel for everybody up in New York way or other way is in the wintertime when it's freezing up there and the weather's miserable and I'm sitting on the beach, even listening to, you know, nice sounds on my iPhone.
I envy you.
Sounds terrible, yeah.
With your wet shoes and your umbrellas blowing inside out.
Oh, my goodness.
I know it. I'm sorry. But listen, thank you very much.
You.
Thank you very much for having me on your show. And if in the future you want to chit-chat about something else, please feel free to give me a call again.
You're more than we may do that, Joe. And have a great evening. I hope you enjoy the episode.
I will. My next adventure is local here. Just Sunday I found out, but we have our own local Dancing with the Stars. It's actually the biggest social event here. It won't take place until May of next year, but they have picked me to be one of the five guys, and there's five women, and we have to dance. It's for charity.
Awesome.
And it's called New Start, actually, for women who are pregnant and new babies and everything like that. So we dance. We also have to raise money, so 50% of our score will be the dancing, and 50% will be how much money we raise for the charity. And
awesome.
Look forward maybe to, you know, raising a whole hell of a lot of money. We'll see.
Put a link on my wall if you want to. And I've got a lot of friends, and I mean, probably not as many as you, man, but put it on my wall and I'll help fundraise for you and make you send you a donation.
Yep.
I want you to win. So.
All right. Well,
send me the link too. We'll put it in our group page.
It's called Indian River County Healthy Start, and it aids the moms. Last year they helped 16 moms who are at high risk of having problems with birthing, and then the follow up with the kids and everything like that. So it's a nice charity, and I'm hoping that I could maybe raise more than anybody else. But my thing is I haven't danced since high school, and I'm meeting my instructor. Well, I met her. She's a wonderful woman. But tomorrow is what we call assessment day. So I'm going to see if these old legs that haven't danced in 55 years are going to work. So I want you to watch Facebook tomorrow night because I hope to put something on there tomorrow afternoon after we do my assessment to see where I am assessment-wise. So it might be humorous. We'll see what happens.
I bet you'll do fine, Joe.
Kick some butt.
I bet you'll do fine.
Just like with Survivor, I'm planning on being the sole survivor and winning that covetous. They actually have a mirrored ball, just like they do on. And it's like a real big deal. It's at our Riverside Theater, which is a huge theater. It's seating about 700 people. And it's a black tie affair and a whole deal. So it should be fun. So I have a.
You're
going to
win it.
Thank you. I like that. Thank you for the support.
You're
going to
win it.
I'll win. I'll play. I'll dance. So, yeah.
Okay.
You're
going to
bring it home, Joe. Thank you so much for coming on tonight, Joe. It's been our pleasure.
Anytime. And the best to you guys. And have a happy Thanksgiving coming up and a great season for Christmas or whatever you do celebrate.
Awesome.
Happy holidays to you too, babe.
Thanks,
you so much.
Yep. Be well.
Take care.
Peace and harmony. Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye. What a sweetheart.
Well, Co Wrong has had two guests, and they've been both phenomenal. Neil and Joe, what great guys! And like, we're gonna rustle up some more Co Wrongers, and we've got an amazing track record with those guys for sure. Two brains,
a
brain
great guy.
Bringing it home, yeah. It was all consuming. So I actually was watching the episode last night. My sister's up from Texas, and I got to watch it with her and my dad and his girlfriend and my girlfriend and all their birds. I had a bird on my head while we were watching the show. And what an episode. You got the tribes coming together for the merge. So many personalities. And coming into the merge, we had 7 millennials and 6 Gen Xers, and then, you know, all these past dealings and all the arrangements, I was hoping what would happen, maybe not specifically to who it happened to. I was, you know, Michelle was my favorite among the four of those crazy kids in the Triforce, which is already funny that they had four people in a three-person alliance. But it was, I felt bad that she's the one that got it, because I like Jay better than Taylor, but at this point I really don't care for Jay or Taylor from the show. I mean, once I talk to him, that'll be a whole other thing, but just how annoying and obnoxious.
Oh, you know, I know.
Adam gets your girl, but he's trying to make a legitimate bond, and he's like, it's all about revenge. And, you know, if they hadn't been worried about Jay flinging his idol over to protect his bro, I would have loved to see Taylor go home last night instead of Michelle. But I was happy with the result for sure.
Either one of those two guys, I would have been pleased.
Yeah. And Jay was the one, I'm the kingpin, so Jay's the one saying that. And on paper, he had a decent reason to think he was the kingpin, you know, taking out Michaela. And coming into this, millennials had the numbers, but Jay, like Daedalus and Icarus, flew too close to the sun, and he didn't necessarily die last night. He's still alive. He still has his idol. He still has two bros with him, but they lost their lady friend. Old Michelle got the axe 9-4 as the millennials and Gen X nerds struck out against the jocks. So interesting, and it was neat. That's the self-described, and it's an interesting, you get Adam, Zeke, and Hannah, who, and David, are nerdier people, and I'm a big old nerd, so hell, if I get out there, Sherry, I hope I can link up with other nerds. And, you know, I was cool with the cool kids in school, so I kind of was social with everybody, but shocking. So the first thing I noticed was Hannah not feeling included by the blind side, and she's just trying to talk to Jay, and he just wasn't very receptive to that. I just don't know if he's, you know, disregarding the female players, or what was your take after Michaela gets blindsided and they come back to tribal council, or from tribal council to camp? Did you think Jay reacted the way he did, or do you think he could have?
I was,
yeah,
you know, she was
better?
Saying, because I would have voted with you, you know, and he was just so dismissive, and I don't understand why he's like that with Hannah. I don't get it. You know, if you can have somebody on your side like that, if there's any possibility of having, you know, somebody on your side like that,
mm-hmm.
why aren't you using that instead of shunning them?
Yeah, Taylor are the same age. Jay's just a year or two older than they are, and I don't know if it's just that personality thing or just doesn't think he needs the respect her as much. And I'm shocked that we've got 12 players remaining, and only 25% of them are women, especially after last season. I don't have the data in front of me, and I feel bad as a super fanatical fan, but we've had 8 eliminations, and from those 8 eliminations, make sure I don't miss anything. Yeah, we've had 8 people voted out, and 7 of them were women. So 88%.
I mean, it's going to be nothing but a bunch of guys sitting around a campfire, farting and burping.
Scratching
and
spitting and
scratching and
doing
yeah.
all those manly things.
Yeah.
I don't know if that'll be good for the ratings without any, you know, beautiful ladies here. Because it's amazing. And it's interesting who's survived the fray. And I from a production perspective, you know, they haven't really lost much male eye candy, unless, you know, Paul's your thing, ladies. And Paul's not, I don't know if he's the most instantly appealing person to the vast majority of the audience, but, you know, you lost, you know, Rachel and
Figgy and Michaela and now Michelle. So I don't know who the young vixen is on the show between Sunday, Jessica, and Hannah. It'd be kind of a toss-up there. I know Rob has a podcast, does Ding, Marry, Kill. I don't know who would get dinged, who would get married, and who would get killed in that scenario with most people. I don't know. And that's not really our so what we do on our show anyway, but it's just kind of an interesting thing. And then we've got nine guys left, and there's so much testosterone floating around and so many people vying for power. So who has the power? Who doesn't have the power? There's still three idols available, and that's just – I think there's going to be some – I think we're going to see some pretty exciting votes coming up, especially with – this showdown at some point between Adam and Jay, because they both have idols, so I don't know what will happen there. And then, so what was some things that surprised you this episode, Sherry? Anything that really didn't think would happen?
I don't know. I think one of the problems with this season is that no female has really stepped up to be the mama bear on this tribe. There's no mama bear on this season. You know, we've had many in the past. You take like your Keena Wessons and, you know, somebody like that. You know, that is somewhat like the mama bear of the season. And they sort of have a way of speaking to the younger people on their tribe.
Yeah.
And can not necessarily tell them what to do, but they have certain expectations out of the way they behave.
Yep.
And it is sort of like a mama bear having a mom there at camp. And I think not having that personality on this season, these youngins are running amok. What's going on? And
yeah.
All the females are just being ran over and booted out because nobody is, you know, nobody's expecting them to act with any respect or regard for the women on this season, and they're not.
Yeah. The closest to do that would be Sunday, but we haven't really seen it, or if she tried it, she saw what happened to the other older women and has reacted to kind of play a different way, I guess. I don't know.
She seems to be so quiet and reserved. I just don't see her being that mama bear role.
Well, she could. Joe is very, you know, without blaming editing, was talking about some of the, you know, stuff he was doing on his season. And sometimes, you know, production, depending on the end of the game, either she does really well or maybe she'll just be casually down the road somewhere, maybe. So we don't know for 100%, but I think if she had done some more dynamic things, we probably would have seen it. Especially when they're like, I think it was Taylor, you know, said, let's go around and say what we do and what our age is and, you know, our profession. She's like, I'm older than all of you, but she wouldn't say. And I'm like, well, they want to build trust and build bonds, so, but I guess it would be awkward being the, she was the second oldest woman out there, and now to be the, you know, oldest remaining player. So she's probably just playing it cool and calm and trying to, you know, get through day by day. So we had 9-4, and the millennials and the Gen Xers united against the grouping of Will, Taylor, Jay, and Michelle. And it made sense on paper why they all did that. So let's say mathematically it works out, you know, with idols and all that. Who would you go for next, Sherry, if you were part of that big nine-person alliance?
Well, we talked about it earlier.
Mm-hmm.
It would be Jarrett Taylor.
Jarrett Taylor. And we'll go last, probably. Maybe go Taylor, if make Jay flush his idol, split the votes, and then take out Jay, and then maybe take out Will last, or... That could be a way, but Will, I was surprised. I mean, he is the youngest one out there, but Will had some tenacity, and he went, what, an hour and a half in that modified old school challenge, which I believe made its first appearance in my favorite season, Africa, the stick your hand above your head. And I like the new wrinkle of mixing it up and making it both arms above their head. I thought that was extremely challenging, and I was surprised by how fast people went out, but I was also surprised by how long people could last.
Yeah, that challenge that they did, that's an oldie but a goodie, you know. We've seen that challenge for many, many years, and that's a tough one.
Oh, yeah. And that new wrinkle.
I'm sure her arms and hands were absolutely numb by the time, you know, she tipped the bucket. But
yeah, Jessica went to the end, and that kind of surprised me. I was thinking it might be I wasn't sure. I was wondering what David could do, because he's like skin and bone. So I thought David would probably go pretty far. Same, you know, Adam's got a similar build, but Jessica, she really surprised me. But
I thought Ken would go farther than he did.
Yeah, I don't know if Ken got slipped or maybe had a balance issue. I'm not sure. Yeah, Ken surprised me. I wasn't too surprised the first three that went. I was pretty sure some of the Generation X people might have some trouble, especially Chris and Brett being bigger guys, and Sunday as well. I guess Jay surprised me. I don't know if he made a bad positioning or got just a cramp, but Jay went pretty quick. Jay and Ken definitely went quicker than I thought. And for, because Jay went before Zeke, and, you know, Zeke's been pretty good at some of the challenges, but if it was stick your arms over your head, I would have bet Jay would have gone farther than Zeke, but that definitely wasn't the case. And Will got the win that he needed to win the immunity, because Adam tried to build trust with Taylor. And what Taylor is a case study for things to not do right in Survivor, but somehow survive another week. The kids taking the merge food in the middle of the night and going out in the woods and eating it. And Brett caught him but didn't confront him, but Adam went out and tried to talk to him. If you were on the island, Sherry, and anybody, was taking a big pile of food out into the woods and eating it, how would you have responded to that?
Not very well.
Yeah. Me neither. And his just whole attitude about it's just like, oh yeah, I was having stomach problems. You mean like you were hungry? Like, everybody was hungry.
Jeff really nailed him at Tribal Council with that.
I'm like, all these people are starving. Of course you're hungry. Everybody's hungry. I don't know. I can't wait to meet all the cast, but definitely I'm still between he and Figgy. I'm team Figgy all the way, because we didn't really touch on it much, but there's been some post show drama with Taylor, and I'm just, some of the stuff that's happened, I'm definitely not a fan of. So I don't want to talk about that. What we want to talk about, but it's just unfortunate, some things that happen post-show. So.
He's going to be a daddy.
He'll be a daddy. But kind of the timeline between that relationship and old Figgy is my point of contention. So there seem to be
some simultaneous
things going on, and I'm just not down with that. So, but. It is.
Yeah, apparently she was Tigers before he went out there.
Yeah, from the scheduling there. So that's just its own thing. But maybe that's a millennial perspective. I'm not sure. Now that we've seen Michaela get taken out, and we kind of have a similar feeling. Once these once Will, Jay, and Taylor are gone, what do you think will happen next? Do you think there'll be some kind of a cross grouping between Gen X and Millennials, some of this nerd activity, and maybe knock out Sunday and Brett and Chris, and then maybe just it's a nerdathon to the end? Or what do you think will happen?
I think at some point they'll go after Chris simply because of his size. You know, I think he's likable enough. He's got a very nice personality, but I think simply because of his size and how well he's, you know, able to do in challenges, they're going to go after him.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. I think he's going to be a threat. I think even though they're not sure about what Brett does, I would say, yeah, Chris would be a target before. And I think out of those Gen Xers that aren't Ken and David and Jessica, I would say, I don't know, Sunday might have the best shot of getting through that, and maybe she'll work some deal with Jessica. But I think Jessica still trusts Ken and David. So I think they'll work together if they get to a point to knock out people that aren't with them. And I think at some point Zeke's going to be seen as more of a threat than he is, even though David and he get along. I think Adam may try to – I think they're all these nerdy super fans that know the game are going to start to analyze each other, and I think that there's going to be some new threats emerge, and it may just not be the, you know, natural targets. I think there may be some of your people that – they may try to flush idols because only limited people know who has what idols. So we could – and I'm looking forward to a three idol, Sherry – a scenario like we almost had on, what was that, Cambodia, where no one received a vote. I think that almost happened, possibly, if I'm not mixing things up. I don't know if that was it or our actual main event, we almost had that happen, where it was almost a scenario where no one would have, there would have been no real votes because of idol play. And then what would happen when that happens?
Yeah, that's, I don't know.
I would assume there's a revote and the people that played idols would be safe, but I'm not 100% sure what would happen. Maybe we'll just have to wait and see. But I'm going to run through my notes real quick and see if there's any key moments that I wanted to I've got a quote from Jay saying this is a big ass move. Pre-merge and to take out Michaela. She's a closer. I thought that was a really good assessment from him. I definitely wrote down Jay talking about being the kingpin. So I thought that was a key quote. I liked that Adam was talking about Jay building an army. I thought that was a good quote. And Adam had a really good just when he was searching for the idol. The merge idol, but he found the advantage. He was talking about how it's cool to be part of a first thing in Survivor, and that was and even though he tried to bargain that with Taylor, what do you think of this new advantage? Do you think there's too many wrinkles now, or what would you do if you had fought hard to win like the family visit and somebody could steal it? What do you think are the political ramifications of that?
Oh. Boy, that would be rough. That would be hard on the heart. But you know, that's them trying to throw drama into the game. You know.
Yeah, with all these super fans, I gotta keep thinking of new ways to do things that haven't happened before, because you can't really surprise. If anything had happened before, I'd be ready for it. So they'd have to pull out these things that have never happened to trick people that think they know the show. Or people that know the show.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, now they've...
Mm-hmm.
They've got these boards where they, you know, they give them edits, you know, where they rate them upon, you know, their...
Oh, that edgic, though.
Every episode,
you know,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't really buy into
crazy.
That 100%, but... It's amazing what they can predict, the people that watch for that stuff. It's
oh
never been something
gosh.
I've really been into. But we'll see what
crazy.
Happens. What's the edgic saying? Is there anyone that edgic's leaning towards just from what they've seen so far? Because I don't really follow that, so I don't know.
I don't follow it that much either. I read a little bit of it the other day, just seeing, you know, some of the stuff they say, and I don't recall exactly everything they were saying, but it's just crazy to me how they rate everyone and, you know, give them scores on, you know, how many edits they've gotten, how much time they got on each episode, and all these things that they, you know, rate them on.
Yeah. Huh.
I don't think they believe that Adam will be around too much longer. Or Sunday. Those are two that kind of stick out in my mind that they didn't hold out a lot of hope for.
Well, I like Adam. I don't dislike Sunday. I just like Adam a little bit better. So hopefully he's entertaining. I hope he can stay for a while.
I
so
do
we'll
too. You know, especially after hearing a story.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that was what's going on with him off the show. So that's kind of why I'm hoping he does well. So I guess my power ranking, I'll just start naming the people off in the order I want them. I guess last place would be Taylor, then Jay, then Will. Then I'll go with Sunday, Hannah, Chris, Brett. Who is left? I think I just have three left. I'll go with Adam, David, then Zeke. So. Oh, yeah.
David,
no, sorry.
Zeke
Ken,
really
Ken's
dropped
still
down
favorite.
On your list.
Huh? Ken,
David,
Ken
Zeke really dropped down on your list.
Well, Zeke went up. I had that's from worst to best. So,
oh, okay,
I want
okay.
to leave the game.
I got
yeah.
You. Okay.
Sorry, the ones
I got
I'm pulling
you.
For are
okay.
Ken, David, Adam, Zeke, and Jessica, then Hannah, probably. So, but we'll see what happens. There's a lot of game left. There's 12 players left, and we're on November 10th, and the finale. Is on December 14th. I booked my flight. So they've only got like four episodes. So I don't know if we're getting some double vote outs, some quit, medevac. Something's got to happen for these numbers to work out.
No kidding.
So I don't know what's in store, but I guess there's going to be something interesting has to happen, a double vote or something. Maybe there's a tie and two idols are played and both go home. If all no votes are real, I don't know what's going to happen.
Sounds like it could be exciting.
Oh, yeah. I didn't have anything else. I think Joe did a great job. It was kind of interesting to not talk much about this season with him. And I love he said he wasn't sure what he was going to say. I didn't know if he meant, like, from his show. But it's neat to see the politics, maybe not politics, it's not one to say who he liked and didn't like from the cast, because he's haven't met the people yet. So I thought that was an interesting response, and I appreciate his telling me that that could have occurred when it happened, so I was kind of ready for it, because I was like, anything off the table? He's like, I'm going to be pretty diplomatic in some of my answers, so I wasn't sure what he meant, but now I know. So there you go.
Well, you know, it's not very often we get somebody on here who doesn't want to say who they're rooting for or against or that kind of thing, but that's okay. That's their prerogative, and he gave us a lot of great information about his season and talked to us a lot about Survivor as a whole, and you know, if he wants to keep his picks to himself right now, that's fine. It was just great to hear from him and talk to him, you know, about his season and what he's up to. And, you know, he was a great guest. Love to have him back sometime soon. So hopefully next time maybe he will be able to watch the episode that we're on. But that was okay. It was great just to hear, you know, hear from him and hear what was going on in his life. And I'm always excited to hear, you know, what's going on in the Survivor's life since they've been off of their season. And he certainly updated us, and that's what's important. I'm just glad to hear that he's doing well and is getting ready to dance in a dance-a-thon and raise money for charity and still raising his puppies and doing well, so.
Glad he's doing well.
Yeah. Well, if that's all we have for tonight, I want to remind everybody to join us again on Monday for the Manic Monday Show with Michelle Costa. We'll be talking about Big Brother Over the Top. That show is at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central. I'm not exactly sure who our guest is going to be this Monday, but she always has great guests, just like Mike does. So make sure you're there for that Manic Monday Show with Michelle Costa. We're going to close tonight's show with Ron, as we always do. I hope everybody has a great weekend. Is that all you have for tonight, Mike?
That's all I got.
All right. Well, we're going to close it out tonight. Here's Ron to take us out. Good night, everybody.
I want to finish off the show with a little music and say to all of my listeners, thank you guys, and thank you all for coming in.
God bless you, and thank you for listening to the show. And it was a great one.
It's always a great one with Mike and the Mike, and Survivor fans rock. That's what I have to say. Mike, you want to say good night?
Good night. Mike's dropped.
There you go. Have a great weekend, everyone. That's it for us tonight. Good night, y'all.